is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That comes from Psalm 118. It kind of has been my wake-up song each day. I wake up and I simply repeat those words. For one thing, I've adopted it because I don't think that we as Christians are as joyful as we ought to be. Indeed, we have every reason to rejoice every day, and we understand in Christ that we only have this day because God has given it to us. All good gifts are from God, and certainly life is a gift that God gives us, and each day is ours in Him. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I want you to think about it lightly, because I don't want you to get so engrossed in thinking about that that you forget about everything else. But here's the first question I have for you. Have you ever questioned what God's will for your life is? Life changes. Circumstances change. Sometimes we find ourselves out of a job through absolutely nothing we did, but because of circumstances that exist in the world. And we might wonder at times like that, well, you know, this is what I thought I was going to do the rest of my life. And now it doesn't appear to be the case. What do I do now? Have you ever questioned why you go to Sunday school? Why you go to church? Confirmation? Or Bible study, church events, or even church itself? Have you ever wrestled to understand baptism or the Lord's Supper more fully, or to understand God more fully, or maybe even a particular scripture verse that you find difficult, or you might even find objectionable? You might say, well, in fact, I've often read God's word to people and they say, Jesus wouldn't do that. That's a way of wrestling with God. And I'm going to submit to you, that's healthy. It's healthy to wrestle with God. Why do I say that? I say that because God's word tells us that all over the place. You know, people are called by God to for a specific mission, and they say, who? Not me. You know, many of people that we consider heroes of the Bible had that reaction when they were first called by God. And quite frankly, we sometimes do as well. And don't mistake the fact that we indeed are called by God. Now, I say all this because, again, I think it's very healthy to wrestle with God's word. It's healthy for you to wrestle with what I'm saying, simply because in wrestling with it, you stay attentive. I know, and I can tell you this, that I spent more time on your side of the pulpit than on my side, and I'm not there now. I'm on your side. But the reality is, I did not take a traditional route to becoming a pastor. I was in trucking management for 28 years before becoming a pastor. It was a career, truly, one I enjoyed very much. I learned a lot. But at the same time that I was building this career in the transportation business, I was also a member of a church. As a matter of fact, we moved a lot. We currently live in our 11th house. Now, most pastors do that because they move around as pastors. I've only served two congregations. I served Emmanuel Lutheran Church in DeKalb, and now I am serving at St. Mark's Lutheran Church just up the road. I am your circuit visitor, which may not mean a whole lot to you. I actually have 13 churches in our circuit that we that I have responsibility for serving as the liaison between our district president. Essentially, I work for him. I'm his gopher. That's what I get to be. And it certainly is an honor to serve in that position. But on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. That was an invitation by him to debate theologically those 95 theses. Now, do you know what a theologian is? A theologian is one who has thoughts about God. So if you have thoughts about God, you are a theologian. You may not be a very good one, and your theology may go awry very quickly, but you are. Martin Luther invited people to have a theological debate about these 95 theses, which really did kind of happen over a course of time, but didn't really ever happen because the Pope got a hold of his 95 theses. He did not like them, was very upset. Who's this monk in Germany who's trying to tell us we have some problems? He has some concerns about the way we're doing things. And at the center of most of those 95 theses, and what really prompted his posting of those 95 theses, had to do with the fact that the Roman Catholic Church had begun a campaign of stewardship that was brilliant. Here's what we're going to do. I'm making this nefarious. It really wasn't. Didn't happen that way. They thought they were doing the right thing. It was, but what their idea was, we need to raise money to build St. Peter's Basilica. Not an unreasonable thing to do for a church body. They were the largest church body in all the world at that time. Basically, the church was pretty much one, although the Orthodox Church also existed. But Luther was a Catholic, as are you. We're just rebel Catholics, as are most Protestants. Protestants, really, what that term comes from is protest churches. They were protesting actions of the Roman Catholic Church. And for Luther, it was a matter of understanding God's Word. Luther had been on a journey of wrestling with God's Word for some time. Luther's original image of God was a king sitting on a throne with a sword going through his head. It's an ugly picture. I thought about sharing it with you, but it really is an ugly picture. And it's hard to imagine anybody really thinking of God in that way. But Luther was beginning to study Romans, and he really desired to understand what Paul was talking about in that letter. Today, you get to hear Luther's own testimony about his struggle with God. Luther says, "I greatly longed to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way except that one expression, the justice of God. Because I took the justice of God to mean that justice whereby God is just and deals justly in punishing the unjust, in punishing sinners." That's how he saw God. Saw him as a just God who was all about punishing sinners. Luther says, "My situation was that although an impeccable monk, a Catholic priest, a monk, and later a university professor, I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in conscience, and I had no confidence that my merit would satisfy him. Therefore, I did not love a just and angry God, but rather hated him and murmured against him. Yet I clung to the dear Paul and had a great yearning to know what he meant." Luther's faith was truly evolving as he wrestled with God's word. "Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement, the just shall live by faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy of God, justifies us through faith. Thereupon, I felt myself to be reborn, to have gone through open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning, and where, as before, the justice of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me an inexpressibly sweet and greater love." This passage of Paul became to me the gate of heaven. He continues, "If you have a true faith that Christ is your Savior, then at once you have a gracious God. For faith leads you in and opens up God's heart and will that you should see pure grace and overflowing love. This it is to behold God in faith, that you should look upon his fatherly, friendly heart in which there is no anger nor ungraciousness. He who sees God as angry does not see him rightly, but looks only on a curtain, as if a dark cloud had been drawn across his face." The movement that has historically become known as the Reformation began with God and a man, Martin Luther, who was wrestling with God's word and promise. In all those things I mentioned at the beginning of my message are ways in which we get to wrestle with God. Wrestling with God is not a bad thing. It grows us. It equips us to be God's servants, For me, it's one that led me to the ministry. By the way, I had a very good canned answer whenever anybody would ask me. Growing up in the church, I had the opportunity to teach Sunday school. I was a youth leader in my congregation early in my ministry. I couldn't keep up any longer and therefore kind of moved on to other things. Taught Bible classes, taught Sunday school, taught all kinds of things. And people would come up and say, have you ever considered going to the seminary? And my answer used to be, no, God needs good laymen. That's true, by the way. God needs good laymen, good lay people. That's you. We need you. God needs you. The body of Christ needs you. Jesus says today in our gospel lesson, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know that truth in Christ. What does it mean to abide? Abide means stay. Don't go anywhere. Luther, when he began his wrestling with God, didn't go anywhere. He turned to God's word to understand it. And we thank God that he did, because this church probably would not have existed had it not been for Martin Luther. Luther stood before the church a condemned man. He actually was found guilty of heresy. And he could have been burned at the stake, but because of promises that were made when he was brought to trial, he had the opportunity to travel home safely. And on his way home, he was kidnapped by his friends, whisked away to a castle at Wartburg in Germany, where he spent several years translating the Bible into German, as well as a lot of other he was very productive while he was there. The invention of the printing press happened at the same time that he had posted his thesis, so he became well known throughout all of Europe as a leader of the Reformation. It was not his idea to create a new church, but simply to reform the church that existed. But that was thwarted by the Pope, and eventually the Lutheran Church began. And now it has several versions of itself, the Missouri Synod being one of them. All professing to believe in the theology of Martin Luther. And in a nutshell, this is Martin Luther's theology. Here I stand, I can do no other. I stand in Christ alone, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, through God's word alone. He became convinced that no doctrine or practice of the church should exist unless God's word, it's formed by God's word. It's why we only have two sacraments. God only ordains baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's why we do many of the practices we do. And you might think, and many Christians have this idea, well, we're all the same. We're all Christians. It is true. We all believe in Jesus Christ. I have the opportunity to, in my ministry, I've been a person who's spent a great deal of time preaching in retirement facilities. I have my own little congregations in five other facilities. And I've been doing this. I used to have more than that. Since COVID, it's been a little bit less. Actually, now that I think about it, I have six. But it's like our own little congregation, but they all come from different faith backgrounds, and they're always amazed at the proclamation of the gospel as they hear it. They hear it as you would hear it. That we are God's people. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. The question that Luther had, his misinterpretation of God's justice, he did misinterpret it. He wasn't right. That's what his breakthrough was. He thought God's justice was God punishing the unjust justly. But that's not God's justice. God's justice can be summed up in one word. It's the one word that if anybody asks you a particular question in a Lutheran church, that you can answer and you'll at least be partially right. Jesus. Jesus is God's justice. It's not like the justice of the world. The justice of the world would say everybody should get what they're due. We don't live in that kind of world. Never have, probably, well, one day we will. Because the justice we get from God is this, Jesus. God desires that Jesus be everyone's gift. He doesn't hold out on anybody. The gift is there for the taking. It's offered to everyone. Nobody's left out. That's just. God loves you. God loves everyone. That's God's justice. His desire is that we would have what he gives. He gives us the gift of Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, through God's word, that we would know God rightly. God reveals himself clearly through his word, that we would not be worshiping a God that truly is not. That's why it's important that we respond to God's invitation, Jesus' invitation this morning, abide in my word. Stay. Don't go anywhere. Wrestle with me if you must. But through that, you will know the God who is, who says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am your God. You are my children. I made you. You are mine, and I am yours. Today, tomorrow, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.